The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Beautiful day today. I mean, absolutely gorgeous out there. Right now, the official temperature, 66 degrees. It's going to be sunny today with a high of 79. Won't even be 80 today. I mean, Joe, that's a good day to be outside.
It's a great day to be outside, Bart, but if I'm picking my temperature, I'm wanting about 84, 85, because that's when the nectar starts to flow on the white clover so that the mayor can continue to sell honey out of the courthouse, right?
That's right.
Just joking, listeners. Just joking.
Now,
but we do want the
This is the time of the year, though.
This is the nectar flow, and we want the white clover. We had a great April, and then all of a sudden, the wet weather in May just killed the nectar flow. And so here we are, the last week of May, and once you get to the middle of June, it's done and done. The nectar flow is so. We need some mid-80s for 2 weeks so that white clover can hit. And if we can get that, then we might be able to salvage the rest of this nectar flow for the year.
Now, does this white clover make the taste? Is that what?
Well, so each flower, each pollen, each whether it's a tree or a shrub or a grass or whatever, has its own distinct nectar and pollen. And so the nectar flow in the fall is a lot different than the nectar flow in the springtime around here. Typically around here, you have black locust, you have clover, you have privet, those kind of things. It's a milder, lighter honey. Mm-hmm. In the fall, you have a lot more wildflower like goldenrod and those kind of things. And it's got a honey with a little more what they call bite to it. And I enjoy that it's darker. It's an amber color typically, but the flow isn't as much. So you don't typically get to harvest in the fall. Sometimes you do, but it's not often you get to do that. But right now, Bart, we need 85 degrees for the next 2 weeks, and that clover will hit and the bees will just, I mean, they will fill these supers.
Now, I hear a lot of really people who are knowledgeable about honey talking about how eating honey is good, but eating pollen is even better for you.
Well, the pollen is in the honey.
So how do you separate the two?
You don't separate. You can't. Now in the comb, the bees store the pollen as a protein source for the larva or the soon to be bees. However, the pollen by the sheer process also finds its way into the nectar deposits in the comb, which ultimately is called honey after it's capped and removed.
Okay, so we just look for the blinking light that says honey for sale in one of the windows at the courthouse.
No, it's not a blink. What we got is a large neon sign over the courthouse steps that says buy your honey here, and there's got a big arrow. You know how there was arrows at the old Holiday Inn.
Right.
We got one of those old signs, and we put that.
Oh,
and
it's so
just,
cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. So you
and the green. You occasionally have those. I remember at Christmas.
Yes.
The green lights all around. It blends in with all of that.
Absolutely.
So. Well, there's just a little bit of news. While we're looking around the courthouse, I was with somebody the other day, and they were very sad about us losing that. Is it sycamore tree?
It's the sycamore tree, back to 1848.
Oh, man.
And so we had, during the windstorm, we had a large limb fall, and of course, we're just grateful nobody got hurt. It was at night during the windstorm, but we're going to have to. I was talking to Commissioner Pettus Reed and Dr. John Lodel and Greg Tucker. These guys, and we've got to make a tough decision pretty soon about what we're going to do with the tree. So it's not a decision I'm going to enjoy making, but we've got to.
Is there anything you can do to? There's no way to save it. You just prolong.
Last year we made a considerable investment into what can we do to extend the life of the tree. And, you know, it's the tree is old. It's in an urban area, and sycamores are not suited for urban areas. Usually that you've got to give them, you got to pay attention to it. And I think what happened is, people just didn't know, when we put down that sod, it literally suffocated the root system and starved it for water. And so that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is that area, with all the events that we have up there, is an extremely high traffic area. So the soil is constantly being compacted. So you have the compaction of the soil because of the foot traffic. I mean, during the spring, summer, and fall, there's an event on the square just about every weekend. And it's a harsh environment for an old tree.
Is there some way we could find a sycamore, say at the Stones River battlefield or some historical place that has a similar history, at least was around in the same time frame and brought the whole thing up there?
I love the way you think. So, and I've been thinking about this for some time.
It crossed my mind. Well, the Hermitage, would have a heart attack at the Hermitage. But Andrew Jackson used to hunt here.
That's exactly right. And so I'm always got a plan, and I've always got plan B and C and D. So what we plan on doing is we plan on taking, we've talked about taking a graft off of that tree, a graft, and actually...
Take the whole tree, Joe. No, I'm serious.
Well, you can't.
You got these big things that reached, I've seen them in movies.
That I know, but you haven't seen them take a tree that big. I'm telling you, that is a massive tree. And it's, quite honestly, it's dying. It's just, it's old. So it's not just that it's in a tough location. It's just an old tree. If you think about it, 1848, that's an old tree. But what we can do is we can take a graft off of that tree, and then we can propagate that graft so it's genetically identical to what's there. And what we also want to do is originally, and I think you may know this, there were four sycamores on the four corners of the square. So mm-hmm. that particular yeah. sycamore is on the southeast side. We want it on the southeast side, the northeast side, the southwest side, and the northwest side eventually. But so the initial idea, it's not a plan yet, the initial idea is to propagate cuttings off of the tree, grow them, and then at a later date, replant them so the legacy continues.
I think that's so good to do that.
Yeah.
Your date there, 1848.
That's from Greg Tucker, the county historian.
I think that goes to another topic that was very popular in recent days, months. At the Rutherford County Historical Society meeting, which was last Monday, mm-hmm. they had a speaker talking about people becoming members of the first families of Rutherford County.
Yes.
And the date that you have to qualify for is 1850.
Really?
Well, the 1850 census was a big deal. And so 1848 would be right before that.
I need to find out about that. I remember reading.
They can help you out.
I remember I'm reading that on your website.
Yeah,
WGNS News. Right. So your listeners, if you want great local news, go to WGNS News on the website. It's awesome. I go there every day. It's multiple
Thank
times
you.
A day. That was how's that for a shameless plug?
Thank you very much.
But a mayor without shame. But ladies and gentlemen, don't forget the big, big neon sign at the square that says,
"Get your honey
here."
Or honey, come on in.
That's right. But what I need is my mom's side goes back to the Rockvale community.
Does it go back to 1850 or before?
We think it goes back before the Civil War. So
you got,
I want to find that 1850 census and find
out.
Well,
they have it up at the archives.
I need to look at that because the family story is on my mom's side, the McCrarys and the McPeaks came from Rockvale before the Civil War.
That would qualify.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And it does not cost anything. I mean, you just go and look it up and furnish the.
Oh, wonderful.
The material.
Yeah. Well, good.
And they'll help you find it.
I would love to verify that. I like the idea. And this is, I mean, I don't know. I've never done any research, ancestral research on my family. I've never had time, although I'm fascinated by it. But I love the idea that I've got family roots that go back multiple generations to this great community. That appeals to me.
I think that's so cool.
I mean, my father's side of the family goes back to the Battle of Kings Mountain over in South Carolina. I have two ancestors, William Carr and Patrick Carr, that go back to the Battle of Kings Mountain. So that's kind of cool.
Just head up there. They're open Monday through Friday from, I believe it was...
And where is this? The Rutherford County Archives?
The Archives.
So this is John, Dr. Lytle's stuff.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll talk to Dr. Lytle.
But it's also the Rutherford County Library.
Yeah.
That's their branch now.
Okay.
And so that's the group you're working with.
Fantastic.
And they're just super people up there. I had the person's name. I don't see it.
So this is a conversation that Greg and Pettis Reed, Greg Tucker, and John Lodola, and I have, Dr. West, and so many others. Who's the other gentleman? Mr. Jakes, the realtor?
Bill Jakes.
Bill Jakes. Sorry, Bill. I'm having an old moment here. So the five of us, six of us, talk, not on regular basis, but not infrequently, about the importance of embracing our history. Because if you want to know where you're going, you first got to know where you came from, because that tells you a lot about where you are. Mm-hmm. And that can then help you create that vision for how you want to continue to improve. And so embracing our history, both good and bad, is essential. And this effort to whitewash it or remove it is a horrible stain on, I think, all the things we're trying to achieve about getting better. So
Kayla Howard is the lady up there.
Kayla Howard.
Kayla Howard.
Okay.
She is the supervisor there at the center, the research center, which is a part. Remember when at the Lion Ball Library they used to have a Rutherford County room, which was full of books dealing with the ship's passages?
That was a long time ago.
Well, they moved it all over to this new facility.
Okay.
And have it's a perfect facility for this.
Great.
Just nice folks. Well, let's move on to a different subject.
That's a nice segue.
We've talked about
what I have no idea.
We've talked about bees. We've talked about becoming a the first families of Rutherford County.
We've had all the good stuff off the front.
Well, let's just go home. Nothing
and
else.
And it's a beautiful day.
If the honeybees and the white clover.
Yeah, we just need the white clover to come in.
So. Well, there's nothing else to talk about.
Not much.
I will say this.
There's always something else to talk about.
On Monday, Dr. Jimmy Sullivan made a statement, and we have that on the radio, and that was, I want the public schools and the voucher schools or the charter schools to be treated the same.
Correct.
And he said, if we could be... He said, we get our money from the states looking at our enrollment, but it's always for the year before.
The previous year, that is correct.
And he said, you know, the voucher schools or the charter schools are getting theirs based on now.
Well, they're getting theirs not on now, but on future, on projected,
not
enrollment.
Even confirmed,
not current enrollment,
maybe enrollment.
Projected enrollment. So if a charter school says, and this is the point I made last night when I talked to Dr. Sullivan in a joint commission meeting or committee meeting of health and ed and budget, you know, because Dr. Sullivan made a presentation, and so this is going to cost the county $11.3 million.
That's 11.3 that our public schools, who needed money,
it's going to get diverted, yes, to charter schools. And I'm all for school choice and charter schools and public schools and private schools and homeschool. I'm good with all that. What I'm not for, though, is an uneven playing field that targets the public school system, especially the public school system in Rutherford County. And this is the thing that drives me crazy. The Governor Lee, and I have a lot of respect for Governor Lee, and he's a friend of mine, but he and I disagree. He is trying to apply a cookie-cutter solution with regard to education in Tennessee across 95 counties. The education system in Rutherford County is not the same as it is in Memphis-Shelby County or even Nashville, Davidson County.
And it's not broken.
And it's just not broken, Bart. It's working great. Why in the world are we tinkering with something that is working? And Dr. Sullivan and his staff and the school board and the teachers and the parents at Rutherford County, we have, if you include Murfreesboro, I've said this a gazillion times, if you include the Murfreesboro system and the Rutherford County system, we have the third largest public education system in the state of Tennessee, K-12, right here in Rutherford County, the third largest, bigger than Knox County, bigger than Hamilton County, second only to Davidson and Shelby County. Having said that, we have one of the highest graduation rates in the entire state at 96%. Over 96% of our high schoolers graduate. We have, of the 50-plus public schools we have, over half of them are five-star. We have the best high school in the state academically. We have the best middle school in the state academically. And we have the best elementary school in the state academically. So with all of that, why is the General Assembly and the governor thinking it's a good idea to take $11.3 million in public school funding and divert it to the charter schools? I'm fine with the charter schools, but don't divert public funding from what we're doing, which is already successful, to something that is still quite unproven. And I'm horribly frustrated because this is making it's making difficult to pay for the growth that schools new schools require.
So, is this a done deal? I mean,
it's already passed. Yeah, it's a done deal.
So there's nothing we can do.
Oh yeah, we're stuck with it. I wish the state, when they, and I was up there, but they don't consult local government very often. They just assume that they have a thorough understanding of the problem and what's required in the form of a solution. And unfortunately, we don't have at the local level, we don't have the same influence to lobby the legislature that the high-powered, well-funded interest groups do. And that's borne out in a number of areas.
Why are these – is it the voucher schools that are strong lobbyists?
It's the charter schools. The charter schools are literally spending –
What is the difference in a charter and a voucher?
There's no such thing as a voucher school. A voucher is just nothing more than a child gets a voucher.
Okay.
And they get to take that voucher, that funding, and they get to go – wherever they want to go, and I'm okay with that, as long as, like you said at the beginning of your remarks, when Dr. Sullivan says we get our TISA funding on the previous year's enrollment, but we're required at the local level to take our local funding and give that to the charter schools based on their projected enrollment. So let me ask you this question. Let's assume the Bart Walker Charter School for Academic Excellence projects that you're going to have 500 students, okay? And so you get approximately $4,000 per local money per student, or 500 times 500, right?
Right.
You take that, but what happens if you don't achieve an enrollment of 500? What if you only achieve enrollment of 400?
Because that's only estimated.
It's estimated. So what happens if your actual enrollment for the year that you projected is less than what you stated? And you get funding based on projected. Do we get that money back?
No.
Now, they tell us they're going to, what they call, true it up. But there is no enforcement mechanism to force the charter school, the Bart Walker School of Academic Excellence, to rebate back to the county the money that we paid up front for enrollment of 500 when, in actuality, your enrollment was maybe 400 or 300 or 200.
So we lost twice.
We lose twice. And this is when solving a problem, everybody gets in a rush to find a solution. And then when they do that, you inevitably end up causing more problems.
Now, is every county affected by this? Or are there some counties who don't have any of these extra schools coming along?
My understanding is this is now available to all 95 counties.
But if they don't have any schools knocking at the door,
oh yeah, so this
it,
is
it's not going to affect them.
Yeah, you don't see charter schools in the rural areas. I mean, it's a financial issue, Bart. It's not an educational issue. It's a financial issue, which I'm fine with. I don't mind. I mean, a charter school can provide a quality education, but at the same time, we don't need to pretend like their motives are pure here.
Well, let's look at it honestly. The schools in the counties that you've talked about, Shelby, Davidson, Rutherford, even if you put in Knox and Hamilton, we're the only one that's really doing strong. I hate to say that.
Well, the truth will set you free, Bart. The fact of the matter is I get why you may want to come in with a charter school or a voucher program in Shelby County. The graduation rate is probably below 80%. Well, yeah, that needs to improve, and you got to. And something's broken down in Shelby County with regard to the education system. I would argue it's the breakup of the family. But regardless, the fact of the matter is I get what you need to try something new and try something different. But why are we trying something new and something different in a county that is at the top of the education and learning ladder compared to its peers? And why are we trying to create an opportunity in Rutherford County for charter schools when they're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist? What problem are we trying to solve in Rutherford County with a 96% graduation rate and the best elementary, the best middle, and the best high school school in the state? What problem are we trying to solve here?
We're shooting the school system that is making it work.
We are,
and
we're making
it hard on them.
What we are doing is we are applying the standard of need in Shelby County to Rutherford County when that same standard of need does not exist. We're trying to solve a problem in Rutherford County that does not exist. It's a solution in search of a problem.
Is that not what happened on your other issue with the county, saying we want to have the same rights, the same ways to tax people that Murfreesboro, that Wilson County, that Williamson County?
I am sick and tired of the Tennessee General Assembly arbitrarily and for no logical reason picking winners and losers at the local level. On this issue, all Rutherford County was asking, by a vote of 20-1 in the county commission and myself, we were asking whatever authority Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville have in paying for growth, Rutherford County in those rural areas needs the exact same authority. And then not only that, but other counties like Williamson, Wilson, and Dixon, they have this authority to pay for growth that Rutherford County does not have. And the Tennessee General Assembly, for whatever reason, has put a scarlet letter on Rutherford County and said, you cannot do what we've already allowed, authorized other counties to do, and we're not going to allow you to do what the cities are allowed to do. And what's interesting is we are one of three counties in the entire state with a AAA bond rating. And so if any county is deserving of this responsibility by virtue of their conservative physical policies, it is Rutherford County. And yet we are consistently and routinely denied.
Here's a question from a listener. They're saying, did the county do something wrong that made the General Assembly mad and they're trying to take it out on Rutherford County? Or did you do something mad?
So we're speculating here, but I think so. I think I went into the temple of the money changers and I overturned the tables and made a mess because I called attention to the gross inequity and disparity between how local governments are treated by the state. Williamson County, Wilson County, Dixon County are treated differently than Rutherford County. Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville are treated differently. And I stood up and said, wait a minute, why are we, Rutherford County, close to the fourth largest county in the state by population, why are you treating us differently? Tell me why. And I have yet to receive a cogent answer in that regard.
Didn't they say at one point that we all had the opportunity several years ago, some earlier date, to make a decision and Rutherford County did not make a decision to go along with the change?
Back in the late 90s and early 2000s, we had the ability to change our private act. And indeed, we tried to change our private act in 2004 and again in 2006 before the County Powers Relief Act. And they, the General Assembly voted no to deny us the ability to change our private act.
Because we had passed a deadline.
No, we hadn't passed the deadline yet. They just voted no.
They just said no.
They just said no.
Hmm. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. You mull that over in your head. And if you have a question or a comment, 615-893-1450. Let's get our heads together. Our county mayor, Joe Jackson, Joe Carr. That's not...
Joe B., a great Chevrolet dealership in Murfreesboro in years gone by.
No, no, Joe Jackson was our mayor.
But didn't he have a Chevrolet dealership?
No, that was a different Joe Jackson, or a different Jackson.
Really? See, boy.
We'll be right back. We'll straighten out the history.
Your News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
The Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in downtown Murfreesboro.
We are very blessed to have volunteers, to have friends that are decorators that come in and merchandise our store and do our window displays, that help with linens, that help with jewelry, that help just make the store look really nice.
Proceeds from sales benefit Greenhouse Ministries, a faith-based nonprofit serving the underserved here in Murfreesboro. The Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street, across from the tall NHC building.
If you're planning an upcoming trip and want to include your pet, we have all the travel supplies you'll need at Animal City. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Animal City is Murfreesboro's hometown family-owned pet store. We've had the honor and pleasure of serving the community for 33 years. If you want to see some photos of our adorable pets, feel free to check out our Facebook page, Animal City of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro.
By growing up in the restaurant business and being always around it, it was just something that was just second nature to me. I didn't realize the amount of work that was involved in it. I didn't understand and appreciate all that my parents sacrificed in order to provide for us. And now I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative of the foundation that they laid for me so we could teach others to create what they have done to make it more of a legacy than just a passing of the torch.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
Good morning. Still some heavy traffic trying to get up through the Antioch area. 24 westbound coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. It's not the worst we've ever seen it, but it's still busy nonetheless. It's still pretty crowded over here on 40 westbound in from Hermitage into Donelson, trying to get past B&A Airport as it starts to slow down at times. 65 southbound with heavy traffic trying to get down through Millersville. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken has new items on that brand new menu. Check them all out today at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Mostly sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 54. By Thursday, sunshine, high of 81 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 77.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Catch the Rick and Bubba Show weekdays, noon till 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Did you know we specialize in commercial and fleet business? We're equipped to handle all of your company's automotive needs. Download our Tire World app today for free oil changes and electronic coupons. Come by today for all of your automotive needs. Online at tireworld.us.
Okay, we're trying to figure this out. Can somebody help us remember the Jackson brothers? For some reason, the name Jim, Jerry comes to mind, but that doesn't sound exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so I butchered that earlier, so this is your mayor heart at work, Bart. But your listeners will know, will straighten us out. It was Jackson Brothers Chevrolet.
It was
on Northwest Broad.
Yeah.
And they were there for a gazillion years, and so I want to know who the brothers were, the first names.
615-893-1450. And one of them was Dominant. and was there all the time.
Right.
Seems like it was Jim, but Jim, if you're listening, call.
Yeah, help us out over here.
He lived out on Las Casas Highway, I think.
Really? Okay.
I'm probably way off.
Maybe a founding member of the Las Casas Mafia, of which I am a proud member.
Okay. Do you live out Las Casas Highway?
I do. I live in Las Casas.
Okay, and eventually the highway goes out there.
Yeah, eventually. Hence the name.
That's right. Fascinating.
We are hitting on all eight cylinders this morning, aren't we, Bart? Oh, Lordy.
615-893-1450.
Yeah, if somebody
remembers.
615-HELP.
That's right. Help us quick. Who were the Jackson brothers? Now, we don't call us and say they are the ones who had the Chevrolet dealership. We know that.
Yeah. We don't need that part. We got that part covered.
I bought cars from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who doesn't remember that? And then remember Benford Ford?
Oh, yes, I do. And he later moved out on Memorial.
Yeah.
Passed away.
We hit the way back time machine, didn't we?
We did. We're
aging ourselves.
But unfortunately, the old gray matter is not working like it used to.
It never does. It's like that sycamore tree. We're going to have to cut it down.
Does that mean we're going to be cut down?
I think so.
What are we going to do now that we have these issues? I mean, we're going in the hole when we... One of the things we've talked about is the need for school buildings.
Yeah.
We just had to write up $11 million check to the voucher.
Yeah, we're $11.3 million is what we're going to have to do for charter schools, and that comes from Michael Smith and our finance director and Dr. Jimmy Sullivan, the director of schools, superintendent of schools, and that estimate came to them. But that's on top of the $5 to more probably $6 million we're going to lose in revenue this coming fiscal year as a result of the new legislation and that the General Assembly passed. So we're going to be upside down this year just in school funding, $18 million.
The name is Jimmy.
Jimmy Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your listener.
Thank you. Thank you for
bailing us out. We need bailing out.
We do. We often need it.
I would say there's a good brain between us, but I can't say that this morning, Bart.
I'm sure everybody remembers where they were. Well,
oh,
they've
sure.
been in two locations.
Yeah, that's right.
Weren't they also up here where Mark Pirtle was originally? Wasn't that originally Jackson Brothers?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And didn't he buy it from them?
I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mark Pirtle had Oldsmobile, mm-hmm. Cadillac.
Yeah, and Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. GMC Chevrolet, yeah.
And that was right next to the Crystal.
Yes.
Across from the root beer place.
Yeah.
S&W,
yeah.
Boy, we're going back.
No, wait, is it S&W root beer?
Or A&W.
A&W, I don't know.
Some kind of, it was root beer.
We just, the Wayback Machine.
One more thing to throw into that Wayback Machine, if we're looking at places that were fun. Did you ever go to Roscoe's Hot Dogs?
No.
It was on right around where the tower is, the radio tower.
Really?
And it was the fascinating place about Roscoe's.
You're talking about right there on Broad Street?
Right there on Broad, at where it curves a little bit. I think there's a auto parts store or something there.
Yes, so
right around.
So it's an AutoZone sitting there now.
But there was another building there that they were in, had sawdust on the floor.
No kidding.
You'd walk in there, you'd order a hot dog, they'd put everything on it that you wanted, just like at a carnival. And best thing around,
wow.
Roscoe's.
So across the street, there was a gentleman who used to sell block ice. Do you remember that?
I've heard of it. I don't remember it.
I was a youngster then, but he sold block ice.
Block ice.
I wish I could remember that gentleman's name.
But now his ice building was there until just recently. I think they tore it down or sold it or
something.
That's
a shame.
It was a bit of history.
It was a history. Wow, what a shame. Anyway.
Let's back to the
of course,
Rutherford County.
Of course, everybody my age cruised Shoney's.
Oh, yes.
cruising in Shoney's on Broad. So anyway, we are way off the reservation.
Do you remember where Shoney's was? Now, people are sometimes confused on that.
Well, what do you mean? It was right there on Broad Street.
But there were two Shoney's.
Well, there's one out there on South Church.
But when we cruised Shoney's.
Really?
We were at the one where the liquor store is now.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. That's correct.
They built the other one next door to
That's right. That's right. Wow.
Do you remember how cold it was in Shoney's?
It was always cold.
It was so cold that the windows were always
foggy.
Frosty.
They were frosty. That's
and
right.
Somebody told us that they did that to assure a quick turnover.
Well, it worked.
I think we're not discussing the county. We got a little off track.
But I think.
So what can we do with this shortfall of money?
I don't know. Not yet. It is what it is. And the county, thanks to the work of the commission, Michael Smith, the directors, all the constitutional officers, have really worked very well together to present to the county commission a balanced budget proposal this year. I think we talked about that in our last month. You know, we're going to have a balanced budget. We're going to take care of our county employees again, which is they're our greatest asset and greatest resource. We're not going to raise property taxes. We're going to have a very healthy fund balance to maintain our AAA bond rating. But this year is a result of last year's work. However, this year's work is going to be difficult as it relates to next year and the following year. Next year and the following year are going to be extremely difficult because that's where this $18 million funding shortfall is going to show up and it's going to hurt the county. And I'm worried. I'm worried about next year and the following year. I'm worried because the growth of this county is being paid for by the property taxpayers of Rutherford County, and I just don't think that's fair, especially when the cities of Rutherford County have other options, and we don't have those same options.
We have another comment here and a question. We'll tell you the question first, and then we'll throw in the comment. The question is, we've heard a lot more conversation about the real need for the Forensic Health Center.
Yes.
We really need it.
Yes.
And the comment that they threw in was Womack Ice House. I think the people are having fun with this.
I love your listeners. You know what? We're going to give that every serious consideration. That's an excellent name.
The so, Womack Ice House.
I like it.
Well, that was what it was called, they said.
I know.
And after they said that, I think...
Oh, so they're referring to the blockhouse that
Womack Ice House.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know. I'd forgotten that was the name of it. You threw me a curve by throwing the Forensic Center in there.
See, these listeners go fast in every direction.
They go faster than we do.
So what about the Forensic Health Center? How are we?
Well,
are we just sitting there?
Well, we're not sitting there. The architect and the engineer is currently designing it. The county allocated $900,000 for engineering and architectural work. That is not funding to build it. That's going to be a separate issue taken up in the fall after we get it designed so the architects and engineers can make a full presentation to the commission, so that they can have a fully informed decision about whether or not they want to spend that money. I will say this, when it comes to the Forensic Center, we will not be raising taxes to do that, and we certainly don't believe we're going to have to borrow any money. That's a good thing. I think that reflects the financial health of the county. I'm optimistic, but the county commission still has to make that decision.
Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr is our guest this morning. We'll pause for just a moment, and we'll come back because we're almost out of time. We've been having too much fun this morning. With us. We'll be right back.
Capstar is now a division of Old National Bank. You'll notice some changes as we complete the transition to Old National Bank. The Murphy Spread team that you know and trust at Capstar are always ready to serve you. We'll temporarily use Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, until the transition's complete. As always, we're ready to serve you at Capstar Bank, a division of Old National Bank, member FDIC.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other rooms. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
When the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
We are almost out of time, but let's try to get in as many of the top issues as we can. There was a veto, and the name of the public safety building, a new one, was some of the people wanted it changed. Tell us a little about that.
Well, so what happened was we have, as you, your listeners know, several public safety buildings, fire halls, EMS stations, and health facilities that we're building as a result of COVID money from the federal government. And so one of the commissioners, Commissioner Robert P., had the idea that he would like to name that building after the four of the founding members of the Volunteer Fire Department out in Kittrell, which is where one of the public safety buildings is. And so he came up with this formula where he put in alphabetical order the first letter of their first name, and then arranged after the that alphabetical order, he arranged the first letter of their last name to spell P-E-A-Y.
Oh, that's the same spelling of his name.
It is, indeed.
Just by coincidence.
Coincidence.
I'm sure.
And in any event, so he brought the bios of the four families, Robert Bob P., Clyde Elrod, David Adams, and Laughlin Urey to the county commission to read their bios. And quite honestly, it put the county commission in an awkward position to vote on that. And so Eric Hennessy, my chief of staff, and Nick Christensen and I, the county attorney, are putting together a process to what's the policy, what's the process for naming public buildings after individuals. I think we need to be very, very careful, because that's something that can be easily politicized, and politics has no place in the naming of a public building or a road or something like that. So the county commission voted 13-7 to allow the naming of the public safety building at Kittrell, the P building, P-E-A-Y. And so there was a huge, I mean huge, outcry in the Kittrell community and generally across the county, objecting to that. So based on that, and based on the fact that I didn't believe that the community had the opportunity to voice its concern for or against the renaming of the building, I vetoed that resolution. And as a result, that's got to go back before the county commission on the next Thursday meeting, the second Thursday in June, at the full county commission, if the county commission wants to override that veto.
Well, you know, the city of Murfreesboro did something similar to that on the naming of this bridge on Broad, the bridge over Broad.
Yeah.
Opened it up to the public. I don't recall how they took names in. It was not on the ballot.
No.
But you don't want it on the ballot, I don't think.
No.
That you'd have to wait for the
right
next. How are you going to get names from the public?
Well, I think what we can do is we can set up a process, and I think we can, if we want to have a building named after somebody, obviously they have to, it'd have to be somebody who's made a significant contribution to the community or to the county. I mean significant. In naming a building after somebody should be a rare occurrence, not a common occurrence. And it's that individual or family that has exemplified sacrifice, devotion to community, love of community, and has demonstrated that in their service to the community. And I think if the public has an opportunity to engage in that process, I'm satisfied that we'll come up with something that will work. But the public has to be aware that the county commission is voting on something like that, and they were unaware until the vote had already happened. And when they found out about it, I mean, they got unhinged, and rightfully so, because they felt like they were left out.
Now, were these four original families that make up that acronym, so to speak, were they actually the four founding families? We're almost out of time.
But there were several. They weren't the only ones. There were several founding families, okay, and so they were picked.
Very good. We are flat out of time. I hope we have this much fun every time.
Oh, I always enjoy coming in here, Bart. This is the good neighbor station right here, WGNS News.
Joe Carr. Look forward to the next report on the bees.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Have a good one.
God bless.
Much more to come right here on your good neighbor station, WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll see you tomorrow.